AM 1170. The Answer. KCBQ. The Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but the world is so overwhelming between cold-blooded murder from organized terrorists and ruthless butchery from independently evil psychopaths. Where is God? And not only is the world overwhelming, the world is confusing. So many people are being accused of sexual misconduct from Hollywood to Washington. In the same breath that television pundits tell us that a man is innocent until proven guilty under our Constitution, we also hear that women should always be believed. Now, how can both of those statements be true? Of course, facts and statements and logic and rationale is lost on the politically correct. Are you catching this? Oh, yeah, Sean. I absolutely believe that a man is innocent until proven guilty. On the other hand, when a woman makes a claim about rape or abuse, she should always be believed. Ladies and gentlemen, what we do in this show is make the obvious obvious. So let me say what's already obvious to you. A person who bears false witness should be given the same sentence that the accused might have received. That's according to God, according to Moses, and according to common sense. Yes, women or anybody should be believed when they tell the truth, but we've got to determine whether they're telling the truth. And if they're telling the truth, then of course we believe them. In many of our current news reported accusations, men have confessed their despicable deeds. I want you to know that I was a pastor for many years, did a lot of pastoral counseling, dealt with a lot of women who had been abused when they were younger, etc. I believed each and every one of them because I listened to them. I knew them. They were part of my church. But ladies and gentlemen, there have been times when it's been reported and verified in the news that women have been caught in lies. And there have been times when women have openly admitted that they made up certain charges to get attention. And just as many times, of course, when men have been caught with lies. According to the Bible, all of us are caught up in a condition called sin that includes the self-righteous. Meanwhile, there seems to be a civil war for the soul of our country between people who turn to God and believe what the Bible says about sin and forgiveness and everything else, and people who would be just delighted to outlaw the Bible, or at least outlaw free expression of biblical positions, expression that critiques other religions such as Islam, or views of marriage such as same-sex marriage. Where is the clarity? Well, my friend, the clarity can only come from open forums and freedom of speech. In that vein, I am reminded of a classic American author, my favorite playwright, in fact, Arthur Miller. Now, he was not a Christian. Neither had I yet turned to Christ when I was initially studying his works back in college, but the man did have a penetrating insight into human nature. With all its fallacy, with all its selfishness, with all its cowardice. While reading Miller, I was reading the same assessment of human nature that the Bible does give, even though I had not yet studied the Bible. Arthur Miller wrote The Crucible in the 1950s, probably one of his most famous plays. This historical drama, set in the time of the Salem witch trials, was deliberately analogous to the McCarthy era. But he wrote it because in those days, you could be taking quite a risk to speak out openly. against the McCarthy era. So he took an incident from history that was very similar, very parallel. Today's McCarthyism, of course, doesn't toss the accusation communist around so much, and instead comes with a brand spanking new Kellogg's variety pack of labels from the left. Anyone who disagrees with a politically correct position is immediately labeled, take your pick, depending on the subject, is immediately labeled as a racist, or homophobe, or xenophobe, or misogynist, or Islamophobe. It goes on and on. This is the response as opposed to civil debate, where actual facts are presented, challenged, and clarity is offered regarding dissenting opinions. And now, here to help us sort it all out is a man who wrote the book on clarity. Well, no, he hasn't actually written a book yet, at least not to my knowledge, but he should, because I would take one Jim Barrier over 100 PC University professors or 500 CNN commentators or every single NBC commentator. I would take Jim Barrier over them any day of the week and twice on Sunday, even though we only have him on today once this Sunday. Jim, welcome back to our program.
Thanks, Bob. That's hyperbole at its best. And you just frightened me. Are there 500 CNN commentators? Because if there are...
I did not look it up. No, probably not nearly that much. It certainly was good. 500. But my point was, I would take you over 500 if there were.
I appreciate
that. We would probably
that.
Also want to leave the country if there were 500 CNN commentators.
Well, I was thinking that. I was thinking it conjured up images like a sci-fi movie being invaded by these ugly aliens that are here to devour our faces.
Well, we can at least say that there's far more than 500 people in the entire CNN entity, including the bosses and the financial department and the editors. It's very multi-tentacled.
Yeah, and that kind of... That is one of the hot buttons. You know, I have said for years, on Judgment Day, media goes first. Present company excluded.
No kidding. Yeah. When you're praying about the media, be very specific with your prayers. Don't be too general, because I know you walk with God. He may listen to you a little too clearly.
Since we've done a lot of you certainly have done more in the radio and writing business, but I've done a portion of that. And so I know that there are good guys and bad guys on both sides of the aisle. But we seem to have things really tilted. I love your comment about the crucible and it wasn't required reading as far as I know, but for thinkers, it was one of those kinds on the list that you really needed to read.
Well, I was a drama major and also very involved with drama in high school. So in both places, The Crucible was just huge.
Yeah.
And other works of Arthur Miller, Death of a Salesman, Incident at Vichy was a fantastic play that you don't hear as much about, but an absolutely brilliant playwright.
I was more a drama queen, so I don't know. So... Well, let's get back to, I told you, when we led into this, that there would probably be more of a serious night, but when you and I get together, it's just hard to stay serious the whole time.
Well, boy, when I was reading your Facebook post when you were reviewing this last year with all the tragedies that have gone on in your family, and I've got to tell you, I've really got to hand it to you that you're such a good-natured person, and you are a fun person, and you are a person that people would just be happy to be around. So that's really to your credit. A lot of people, if they went through one tenth as much as you do, would not have such a wonderful attitude.
Well, I thank you, and I think somewhere along the way in my life, just aside from the initial faith that I've embraced, I came to terms with the fact that if it weren't for the grace of God, I would have nothing of value in my life. And then when you have those valleys in between the mountains, if it weren't for the grace of God, I would not survive those. And so they're just, and I know you are also a philologist, a lover of words, and our word for grace and for thanks come from the same Greek word in the New Testament, and charis. Where we get charisma and such. And so grace and thanks are linked. When we say grace at a meal, we're saying thanks because we realize it's a gift from God. And so somewhere I was able to maybe understand that. So I've tried to be grateful, and that's what that post was about, you know. And I appreciate your feedback on that. And yet we're in a time when there are a lot of people who have a hard time finding something to be thankful about. And so we kind of need to help them find grace in the things they're walking through. I'm thinking of the recent shooting in our area here at a church, and I just found out this afternoon, in fact, that someone I know very well had a good friend who was there, and that person lost 9 family members.
It was just so fantastically horrific what happened.
Yeah, and those are hard things. What do you say to somebody, you know? And I was thinking of that. What would you say to a person who lost his whole family in a thing like that? And what came to my mind was I thought about Job. And certainly he lost as much as you could lose. And his 3 friends came to visit him. And at least for 2 days, they were quiet before they started preaching to him.
Yeah, for a few days, they did what they were supposed to do. They sat there. Yeah. They just said, we're here, and they kept their big, stupid mouths shut.
Yeah.
But after a few days, they couldn't resist opening their mouths and giving them all this advice.
I would like to be, you know, in those, I want to be the person who will just say, I'm here for you. I'm not going to preach to you. I'm not going to give you platitudes that right now are meaningless to the pain you're feeling. But so sometimes we need to be the person who will just, like you said, keep our mouth shut, but let them know we're here. So,
and what's interesting is for people who like to claim that, well, the Bible's too simplistic, it's too black and white, it's not nuanced, it doesn't know the gray areas, they obviously have not read Job and Ecclesiastes, a very similar book, because what's interesting is when you read Proverbs, everything's very definitive. In Proverbs, if you're a wise man, you're going to have a wonderful life. If you're a fool, you're going to come to ruin. If you're a righteous man, you're going to have a wonderful life. If you're a wicked man, you're going to come to ruin. Job and Ecclesiastes say, yeah, but wait, what about the times when the wicked man prospers and the righteous man doesn't? And what's interesting is when Job's friends quoted advice, and you know it was written poetically, when they get to the part where they're given their advice, we read it's page after page, and the verses are very much like the Proverbs, and it's really identical advice as the Proverbs. It's just that it didn't apply to Job's situation, and people don't understand that it's not a one-size-fits-all with God. There are rules, and there are exceptions to the rules. Now, as a general rule, if we're walking with God and we're using our heads, life will go well, but it doesn't always work that way. And we have to recognize that life is sometimes an exception. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
Believe it or not, Bob Siegel is aware that there may be one or two people who disagree with his opinions. To offer your own comments on the topic at hand or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, feel free to contact Bob on Facebook, Twitter, or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool and a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. WisdomWorks Christian Preschool.
Yes, we welcome in the Christmas season. I know. It isn't even Thanksgiving yet. This is an annual tradition at the Bob Siegel Show. I always take the liberty of starting the Christmas season earlier just to drive the ACLU nuts, just to give us a little extra grace for all the heartache we're going to have to hear all season. Oh, my God, there's a manger scene. And it's in public, a manger scene, a baby in a cradle. That means the Gestapo will be at our door. It gets old. Give it a rest. There's more important things going on, especially with all that was in the news last week. Christians are going through enough grief. We're going to enjoy the Christmas season. So I started it a little earlier. Say hello again to Jim Barrier.
It's one more reason I love you, Bob. I don't know if there's anybody loves Christmas more than me. I have people in my congregation that they're already in fear and trembling as the season is upon us, because once we hit the first Sunday in December, it's all Christmas music all the time. We decorate our sanctuary. We have a tree that looks like it came out of a Nordstrom. It's just, we go nuts. So
I appreciate it. Well, you know, as you knew, I grew up Jewish.
Yeah, I know.
A liberal atheist Jewish, and was left out of Christmas all those years. Not that Hanukkah wasn't fun, too. But, boy, I always felt kind of left out of Christmas and always loved Christmas time. So when I first became a Christian in college, I just went crazy over Christmas, and I fall more in love with it every single year.
Well, make up for all those years. So I'm with you on that. Now, maybe we could find a way to segue back into this thing.
We always find a way eventually.
We always find a way. I made a statement this morning. I've said this a number of times, but we were studying, we've been in a series, and I've been studying the character of Lot. And, you know, he was a goofy guy. But I started it off with reading in 2 Peter. It says that Lot was a righteous man. And it seems interesting because he did a lot of really dumb things, and he was in a very perverse culture. And I said, one of the things I love about the Bible is that it doesn't sugarcoat things. It doesn't tear out pieces of history because it's offensive or embarrassing. It just tells the truth about these people. And so this is my segue to go get back to the topic at hand, that we live in a culture that is really confused, in many ways very contrary to the things of God and the kingdom of God and the teachings of Jesus. And we're in a very troubling time, in my opinion. And now, it seems to have really become a daily thing. We have these people coming out with stories, and I love the way you introduced it tonight. Sometimes they're telling the truth, and sometimes they're not, and we need to have we need to let justice take its course, and we need to have the dialogue. But it seems to me that it's just been overwhelming. Every day there's a story about that involves either a Hollywood person, a politician, a professional athlete, pastors and preachers, and even the really crazy stuff. Teachers, you know, junior high school teachers that are seducing their students and stuff like this. But these things are coming out now on a daily basis. So my first question is, why all of a sudden are people coming forward? Haven't these things been happening for a long time? Hasn't the past been full of incidents like this, but they just kept it quiet? Why are people coming out and talking about things now? Have any thoughts?
Yeah, well, the dynamite that started all of this, or this most recent one, this has happened before, and sometimes does happen in sets, it was, of course, the Harvey Weinstein.
Right, yeah.
And the thing is, the actors were saying, oh, I was shocked. But we know they weren't shocked because we can go back and watch the Academy Awards where they were making jokes about the things. And it was like, well, yeah, that's Harvey. Harvey does these things. So that of course leads to others. And Harvey Weinstein has not denied what he did. And I understand there've been others, Kevin Spacey, Dustin Hoffman. So that, and obviously when people are confessing, they're confessing, but then we have some people that have been condemned, accused, such as Judge Roy Moore. Now he's adamantly claiming that he is not guilty. Yeah. And of course, you listen to the liberals and listen to the conservatives, and you and I are conservatives. So we need to just be painfully honest. As a conservative, I like Judge Roy Moore. I've interviewed him on my show. It was way back in 2005, back because of the controversy when he refused to take the Ten Commandments down from his court. I liked him. I admired him. I will admit freely over the air that as a conservative, I want to believe he's innocent. But Jim, just because I want to believe he's innocent, that doesn't mean he is. On the other hand, right, the liberals who hate him, can't stand his politics, and that includes the Rhino Republicans that are asking him to step down before the facts have been told, they want him to be guilty. And we need to just hear him out, and we need to hear the evidence. Now, I will say this. On one hand, this doesn't seem to pass the smell test because it's awfully suspicious that this came out just now, where for 40 years we didn't hear anything like this. On the other hand, Sean Hannity, and I thought he was giving a very fair interview, although obviously Hannity is, as a conservative, we were probably assuming he was hoping he would exonerate him. But he asked him some pretty good questions. And there were times when Judge Roy Moore seemed to be answering in such a careful way that he was covering himself.
Yeah.
But I look at that and I say, well, there. So now the timing is suspicious, and yet when I watched him during the interview, I was thinking as a juror, I would note the way he's answering these questions, but I would also hope that as a juror, I would say sometimes people are nervous when they're being accused and when they're being asked questions, even by somebody who was friendly to them, like Hannity. And so at the end of the day, we have to be willing to say we don't know. And there have been all kinds of cases like the Duke LaCrosse case where, I mean, they had, I think it was several hundred professors on that campus, or at least a high number of professors on that campus that signed a petition against that fraternity before any evidence came in. And later on, we found out that all kinds of strange things were done with the prosecutor. Police reports of the initial investigations were not being looked at. And those people have been exonerated, and that woman has been shown to be a liar. And there have been other women that have actually come out in the past and confessed to having lied. So when people say we have to always believe women on one hand, and yet on the other hand, oh, well, sure, a man's innocent until proven guilty, but we always have to believe a woman, that's utter nonsense. And if we weren't in such an emotionally driven culture that's taken brains and throw them out the window, who would take that seriously?
Doesn't make sense, does it?
It doesn't. But what does make sense, Jim, is we'll be right back. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show. This is Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in 3 serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring. Houses burn down. You wanted a guarantee? You should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric, license number 480539. WNS Electric.
You've already heard some of the wonderful customer reviews of the Dangerous Christmas Ornament. But now listen to some highlights from a professional review by Lisa Ruth of Communities Digital News. The book is literally a page-turner that will delight children and adults alike. Readers will find a piece of themselves in Mike, whom Siegel portrays perfectly. He develops the 12-year-old deftly and makes him real to the readers. They will adore Aunt Lorene. They will remember their first love and the pain of betrayal from a friend. Caligula the cat is a wonderfully clever addition to the story. He steals the book with his caustic insight, making all readers wonder just what their own pets would say if they could talk. The real gift of the Dangerous Christmas Ornament is the lessons it weaves amid the adventure. It reminds us of the social and personal responsibility we share and the repercussions of our actions on those around us. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament has adventure, entertainment, and some extremely important lessons. What more could you ask for in a book?
We now return to the Bob Siegel Show.
Welcome in the Christmas season, even before Thanksgiving, because we just plain feel like it. Say hello again to Jim Barrier.
Okay.
So now, that's what you get for asking my opinion. I go on and on, and it takes us right to the break.
Now, and I'm going to do as I do frequently on your show. I'm going to be a little contrarian, or at least take another look at the notion that we always believe the woman when there's an accusation, and yet when there are other issues, we say, well, they're innocent until proven guilty. I would like to say that I have had experience with parishioners, people that I know, and other cases that often it's very hard for the woman who has a legitimate claim, who really has been abused, to get anybody to believe her. And it's so hard to prove something if it was quite some time in the past, because there's no evidence. There's just he said, she said. So I just wanted to give a little bit of a fair shake to those women who have struggled, whose voices were not heard. And so there's two sides to that coin. Just wanted to say
Well, actually, I agree with that. You might have intended it as contrarian, but I mentioned right at the start that as a pastor, I've counseled many women.
Yes.
And the abuses that they were coming to me with were things that happened in the past, sometimes in childhood. And especially when they are children or young teens, they hold it inside. They blame themselves. Victims. So I get all of that. That's true.
Okay.
I'm just saying, at the same time, when somebody's actually being accused, he's entitled to have his side of the story shared as well.
I agree. And that's part of there just seems to be so many double standards right now. You know, we have this whole thing about tolerance, non-judgment, moral relativism, you know, but then when something happens that offends the left, boy, boom, we're casting stones, we're judging people, we're condemning people, and there doesn't seem to be any bit of tolerance there. What about the old adage, you can't legislate morality?
that's the thing. People that say they believe in moral relativism, they really don't. They can be in a classroom where their teacher says, hey, you know, morals, morality, right and wrong, that's a thing of the past. It's all relative. We've all just evolved. It's random. And then one of the students could be embracing all of that, and then he walks outside and discovered that somebody swiped his bicycle that he was going to ride to his next class. He cries out in moral indignation, and we've talked about this before, Jim.
Yeah.
In the same breath that people tell me that they don't like morality or they're too sophisticated to believe in morality, they'll tell me that they can't stand religious hypocrisy. So the two things they hate about religion is it's hypocrisy and it's imposing a morality. And I always like to ask them a very simple question. Are you morally outraged by religious hypocrisy? And if they say yes, I say, well, good, you have something in common with Jesus. He was morally outraged by religious hypocrisy, yeah. And it was religious hypocrites that put him to death. But don't tell me you don't believe in morals, because you absolutely do.
And as soon as someone is a victim, if someone has perpetrated any kind of crime or injustice against them, boy, they're all about morality, and they're all about, we need to pass a law so that this doesn't happen anymore.
Exactly. The other thing with the left, the other inconsistency, is that they don't hold their politicians to the same standards.
No.
The things that they're accusing Judge Roy Moore of, if they're true, they're very bad things. If they're true, he should step down. He shouldn't become a senator, okay? But they don't even come close or even to the same stratosphere of what Bill Clinton did and what Hillary Clinton helped cover up. And yet when those things come up, what we hear is the American people want to move on. The American people aren't interested in sex. They just want to get on with the issues. So it's only an issue when the Republicans do it. And I'm, ladies and gentlemen, I'll remind you again, I am not a Democrat. I am not a Republican. I am an independent. Right now, I feel such contempt for both parties. But still, I want to be fair, and I want to be as objective as possible. The Republicans and the conservatives are held to a different standard than the Democrats and liberals. I mean, who are we kidding?
Yeah, if people can't see that, then they really are in denial. So, and
if they can't see it, they don't want to see it. That's all.
Yeah, that's the case. So
either that, or they're watching the 500 newscasters of CNN.
No.
It's 450, not 500.
Okay, that's much better. I feel so much better. We have these double standards. We have hypocrisy. We have all this thing going on. And I have great concern. I have had for years, and this is just a statement I want to make. And that's that the principles that this country was founded on, the Judeo-Christian ethic, that we the people embraced, have been just kind of swept under the rug. And as that has happened, there has been just this flood of immoral behavior and injustices and abuses and things that have all, the way was paved as we started attacking absolute truth, moral values, religious freedoms, and all of that opened up the door for this stuff to happen. And now what's happening, the irony is, especially in this whole thing with the Hollywood things going on, all of these very liberal Hollywood types are screaming about the abuses. And I'm thinking, hey, you know, you made your bed, lay in it. That's probably a terrible pun right now. But you know what I'm saying?
It's better than the one I was thinking of. What's your position on morality? The missionary position. Okay.
Yeah, okay. All right. Now, Bob, you just went too far there. I'm judging you. But it's a hypocrisy, and they've kind of done this to themselves. And now I see these people screaming and hollering. I'm thinking, hey, how can you even say something is wrong? You've been telling me for years that we can't judge and we can't say that something is wrong. Don't be intolerant, you know. It just seems to me to be very, very hypocritical. And I'm just curious to see how this is going to play out.
Absolutely. And, of course, the question that we're dancing around here is, can there really be an objective morality if there isn't a God? If there were not a God, wouldn't it be more consistent to be a moral relativist? We'll talk about these and other things when we return to the Bob Siegel Show. This is Bob Siegel. As a Christian apologist, I hear scorning and ridicule all the time from Bible skeptics and unbelievers. Some churches will still respond to such people with love and understanding. Others do not.
You Christians are such morons. There's no proof that God exists, and only a pea brain would believe in miracles. Wake up! Step into the 21st century. Besides, Christianity is responsible for most of the world's problems.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Relax, my friends. That's not the kind of response you'll get from Skyline Church. We welcome you just as you are, with all your doubts, all your questions, and all your concerns. Your problems with religion are understandable, and I promise at Skyline you'll experience the love of Jesus Christ, not the revenge of a Sith Lord.
Skyline Church, Sunday morning services at 8:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m.
Back to the Bob Siegel Show. I'm joined today by my good friend and rotating co-host, Jim Barrier.
Man, I love the Christmas music, Bob. You're not going to get a complaint from me about the Christmas music.
Well, good. And if I get complaints from anybody else, I won't care.
I know. Okay, so we're on this thing about the moral decline of our society. And I thought of this comparison recently. You know, there's a whole lot of talk about the border. And one of the concerns, one of the justifications that our president uses for securing the border and building the wall and all of those things is that that drugs flow into the country and they come up through the southern border for the most part. And that's a good enough reason to have better border security. Forget about the terrorists and the people abusing the welfare system, just the drugs that come through. That needs to be stopped, and I agree with that personally. But there are other borders that are not so clearly defined, and they're not physical borders, and that is our moral boundaries. We used to have stronger moral boundaries, and we would protect our children and protect society because we had some understanding of things that are right and wrong, and they're not negotiable. There is truth, there is right and wrong, there is evil in the world, and those things need to be kept out of our culture. And I think just as much as the physical border that allows so much detriment into our country, there are spiritual and moral boundaries that have broken down, and we've been invaded by some very bad influences. Is that a fair comparison?
Yes, except that it was a slow invasion, and that's how they got away with it. The frog has been being boiled slowly.
Yeah.
Like, for example, this thing now where we need to have genderless bathrooms, or even when a place wants to work it out and say, okay, we'll have the male bathroom, we'll have the female bathroom, we'll have the genderless bathrooms. There's places now where people say, no, I as a man want to identify myself as a female. And think of the contradiction here, Jim. The same people that are complaining now about these abuses, these sexual abuses, are willing to put their kids in harm's way just to be politically correct. How many people, even a year and a half ago, you could take your most liberal person, and even a year and a half ago, they might have had a problem with that. They definitely would have 5 years ago. 15 years ago, it would have seemed insane. But we're boiling the frog so slowly that an inch along the way, at every inch along the way, people are feeling the need to be conformists and be PC about it.
Yeah, and so that's what I'm saying. We have our borders morally have been compromised, and it doesn't do a lot of good to try to figure out where did it start, who started it, what happened. Because, you know, people say, well, we took prayer out of school, or, you know, this or that. I think it's deeper than that, more insidious than that, and I always come back to the place where the apostle says, you know, we wrestle not with flesh and blood. Principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness. I think there is spiritual warfare going on, and I think that's been a big part of the problem, and it's invisible, particularly to the non-believer who won't even acknowledge that there is such a universe. And so here we are now, years and years later, and we've got all these problems, and people are scratching their heads saying, well, how did this happen? How can this be? Well, dang, you opened the door, and you let it in.
Yeah, and it begins by the fact that as a society we have all but gotten rid of God, or, well, of course, there's a civil war going on in our society, but a good 50% probably. And think about it. If God does not exist, we're here according to randomness and chance, which means our conscience is just something that happened to develop. And therefore, our view of morality is just an opinion. So there is this frightening logic based on a false assumption. If there is no God, there cannot be any such a thing as right and wrong. Now, I talk to atheists and humanists all the time who try to claim that there is such a thing as right and wrong even without God. But the truth is, without God, you can just make it up as you go, because if you and I or any two human beings have a dispute and one of them says, hey, it's wrong for you to hit me, or it's wrong for you to steal from me, or it's wrong for you to hurt me in any way, the person could say, well, look, you're just here by accident. You're just a lot of slop that accidentally evolved. So am I. We're just two accidental human beings making our way through this accidental universe. All you're doing is giving me your opinion about what is right and wrong. As one accident to another, I disagree with you. Technically, that would be the accurate response if there was no God, because there's nobody to break the tie. There's no way to appeal your morality to a higher court. But if we believe that our conscience came from a higher being who's going to hold us accountable for the way we live, then that makes a big difference.
It does. And I've that's one of the things I will ask people. I have a good friend. He's a brilliant man, psychiatrist, but he is a professing atheist. Now, I haven't got him to bump off of that yet and admit that really, at best, he's an agnostic. And I happen to know he was raised in church, and I think he was wounded, and he is kind of a reaction. He is now a proclaimed atheist. But I asked him early on, one of my first conversations with him, I said, so where does the sense of right and wrong come from? How do we have this innate thing? In every culture, every people group, there is some sort of a system that there is right and wrong. And how do we, where did we get that? And his answer was, you know, that's a good question.
Well, and of course, he was being, by admitting that you made him think about something, he was being academically honest.
Yeah. But he's an interesting fellow. I really love him because on many levels, he is very moral. He really loves to help people. He came down with us one time. He was visiting and went down with us on the streets to minister to homeless people. And of course, he's diagnosing everybody. He's going, oh, this guy needs to be on this drug, and this guy needs to be But he cared. There was genuine compassion. He actually gave up a high-paying position because he took a stand on something that he didn't agree with the particular institution he was working at. And he said, if you do that, I'm leaving. And he did.
Okay, we'll hold that thought. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show. We'll be right back. This is Bob Siegel. I've been on the radio for many years, but let me tell you about a voice I've learned to appreciate far more than any radio announcers, Fred Falduti of Realty Executives All Area. Now, why do I care so much about Fred's voice? Because not long ago, Fred's voice spoke the following words to me.
Bob, I have some good news for you. They accepted your offer.
That's right.
Fred Falduti just sold my house. With words like those, who needs radio? Folks, I'm telling you, choosing the right realtor is no small task. Fred took a personal interest in my situation, treating me less like a customer and more like a member of the family. And Fred's been doing this since 1994. Realty Executives All Area has sold thousands of homes locally.
Our footprints are throughout San Diego County, and we are proud of our accomplishments of assisting home sellers and buyers like you. Over the years, we've managed hundreds of real estate transactions and have encountered just about every kind of challenging situation possible.
That's it, folks. That's the voice that will sell your home. Whether buying or selling, the man you want is Fred Falduti with Realty Executives All Area. 619-719-7717. That's 619-719-7717 or fredfalduti.com. We radio hosts love to talk, but let's face it, when have we ever sold your home? Fred Falduti will.
What better review of a book than to check with the customers themselves? Here is a recent customer review of Bob Siegel's fantasy novel, The Dangerous Christmas Ornament. Superior. As a middle school teacher, I am a prolific reader of juvenile fiction and an even tougher critic of the genre. With that said, I experienced sheer delight in reading the page-turner, The Dangerous Christmas Ornament by Bob Siegel. Mike, the sixth grade protagonist in the story, is a well-drawn character with all the weaknesses and strengths of a 12-year-old. Mike's e-ticket adventure engages the reader with his shenanigans of making his veggies disappear, cat talk, and creating a twin who doubles for him. Not only that, Bob Siegel skillfully weaves a subtle moral message with the metaphoric thread, which encourages a kid to be the best version of himself, all the while addressing the various angst of preteens. Finally, I was captivated to the last page, but disappointed when the Christmas ride of the magical ornament came to a satisfying conclusion. I can't wait for the sequel. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
We now return to the Bob Siegel Show.
Intense things going on in the world. It's nice to relax with some Christmas music. Jim, we're down to our last segment.
I know.
There's one thing I wanted to comment on.
Okay.
Just I'm leapfrogging back. And this is just some clarification for the audience because you and I are talking like a couple of pastors and sometimes it becomes in-shop talk. You were mentioning that Lot was called a righteous man in the Old Testament. And of course,
like Peter, actually.
Yeah. Well, lots of people are called that throughout the Bible. And as people come to understand the gospel, they know that the message is we're all sinful. And even after we give our lives to Christ, we don't become perfect. The Holy Spirit's working in our lives. So it's a terminology thing. What the New Testament called saved or unsaved or born again or not born again, forgiven or not forgiven, the Old Testament said righteous or wicked, and it was a different term for the same thing. A righteous man in the Old Testament understood that he was sinful because, and he still made animal sacrifices to God, believing the blood of those animals was atoning for him. Of course, it was really the atonement of Jesus years later. This was a way of them having a picture of Jesus before he came. But embedded in that description of righteous or walking with God, it was included that the person was sinful, and therefore when they did sin, they would repent, they'd bring a sacrifice. So righteous did not mean somebody who had achieved sinless perfection. So just thought we'd make that clarification.
Yeah, and when I've been teaching about Lot, we started with that, and I said, let's define righteous. Romans 4, as you know, says that Abraham believed God, and that was accounted to him as righteousness.
Credited to him, yeah.
Credited, accounted, reckoned. It's an accounting word. And Lot, being Abraham's nephew, then logically the reason he was righteous is because he believed God. That was the economy at that point. There was no Mosaic law, and there certainly was not the gospel of the New Testament. So what made Abraham righteous was that he believed God. And so therefore, I conclude that what made Lot righteous was that he believed God.
Right, and even in the Old Testament law, half of their laws were animal sacrifices too. And if somebody, if the ancient Israelites were disobeying the moral law, but they would at least go and make an animal sacrifice in the ritual law, if they stayed true to that check and balance system, God would say, you followed my law. But he didn't mean you followed my law so perfectly that you don't need the forgiveness of Christ.
Only one person ever did that.
Exactly,
now,
and that was
so
Jesus.
We're running out of time, and so I wanted to ask this question. In all of this stuff, with these scandals and with these accusations, and probably many of them true and possibly many of them false, how do we as believers respond? What should be our response to people, not only to victims, but also to perpetrators? How should we behave, and how should we engage folks in these situations when we have that opportunity? That's a tough question. Do we throw stones? We jump on the bandwagon and the witch hunt? Or is there another way?
Yeah, well, it is a tough question. As you say, it's also an excellent question, Jim. Part of it, I think we already answered. If we know that somebody's a victim, if there's somebody that's been sexually abused or a family that lost a loved one because a psychopath shot them, and we know they're victims, we don't immediately offer a lot of trite advice. It may be true that God's still on his throne. It may be true that their loved ones are in heaven. That is a wonderful hope, but that doesn't take away from their grief. So sometimes we have to just say, I'm not here to give you a lot of advice. I'm just here. In other words, we do the opposite of Job's friends. Okay, so that's where we start. Now, when somebody is accused of something, I think this is a great time to look at the two sides of the gospel that not all evangelical Christians stress. We've talked about it before on this program. The gospel means the good news that we can have a complete deliverance from sin. That includes forgiveness of sin we've committed, but it also means we are to deliver people from sin committed against them. So let's say we're talking to a person who's been accused of something. Our response, first of all, should be, once again, well, he's innocent until proven guilty. If Judge Moore or whoever's being accused, if you did these things are wrong, these things are sinful, you should be held accountable for them. On the other hand, should you confess that you did this, God will forgive you. But there's a difference between forgiving and excusing. Part of the gospel says we must speak out against evil and identify it and cause it the best of our ability to stop and protect and rescue the victims. In other words, part of the gospel being delivered from sin committed against them. But then should the perpetrator have genuine remorse and genuine repentance, then they can be forgiven, not excused. There's a difference between excusing somebody and forgiving somebody. And this trips Christians up all the time. Sometimes when somebody's wronged them just by hurting their feelings, they think, well, I should forgive them. But they know they're still angry with them because what they were calling forgiveness was really excuse. And what I always tell people as a pastor, you need to confront this person and said, what you did was wrong. I do not excuse you. However, now that I've called it wrong, I am able to forgive you. Now, if it's some kind of violent offense or sexual offense, then that doesn't mean they're obligated to still have the person in their life. But I'm talking about ordinary friends that get into conflicts. Jim, we are out of time. Well, listen, I'll wish you a Merry Christmas even before I wish you a Happy Thanksgiving. How's that for time travel?
That's awesome.
All right. We'll see you next month, my friend. Bye-bye. We'll be right back.
The Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.